Hello and welcome to Future Projection. This is episode 163 of the show. It's a special cross-posting episode. It's also going to be on our main Baseball America podcast feed. I'm Carlos Glazo, joined by Ben Badler and joined by Jacob Rudner for a very special amateur player draft that we do every year. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm excited for the season. I'm excited for an extra special podcast with Jacob today.
Yeah, Jacob, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. I always look forward to my annual future projection appearance to put together one of these drafts. It was fun last year, so I feel like I have different strategies this time, so I can defeat you guys in this exercise.
Yeah, so for those who are maybe unfamiliar, we've been doing this for a few years now. I think this is our fourth year of doing the draft. Last year, it was the same trio here, myself, Ben, and Jacob. The goal is to basically try and draft the best possible teams we can from the 2026 class. As you guys are listening to this podcast, the season will be essentially underway. D1 baseball starts today on Friday. As the podcast airs, myself and Jacob are going to be out in Texas watching a bunch of really talented players. I'm sure Ben is going to be keeping an eye on things wherever he's going to be at. But I feel like this has been a fun exercise to kind of mimic what happens in a draft room and also give us an excuse to talk about the class, feel out the strengths and weaknesses of the class. And since we've been doing this, this is the most talented and potentially the deepest draft class we've had. I was telling Jacob prior to getting on the show, I was doing some strategizing in the lead up to this, trying to figure out like which areas I need to be specific about and be on top of. And it really feels like this year more than any year, I'm not like too concerned about missing any particular category. How do you guys feel going into this? Jacob, we'll start with you first.
I feel really good. I mean, we were talking about it. This is a great draft class. And so I feel like there's like more depth here. I also think that at the top, you have a lot of options and can go a couple of different ways and not be in a bad spot for the way that we calculate who wins this, especially, you know, even past Rock Schlowski. I think that there's a lot of value to be had. So, yeah, I do agree with you. Like this is I don't know that there's a spot where I feel worried positionally.
How about you, Ben?
Yeah, I feel really strong about my abilities to draft, so I'm glad you guys do too.
Yeah, okay, so I'll run down really quickly the kind of format and the system we're doing. We basically all have to draft a roster that includes one catcher, two corner infielders, two middle infielders, three outfielders, four pitchers, and one utility spot. And for our purposes, the utility spot is basically a free space. You can draft whatever position that you want. The only constraints beyond the positions that we have are you have to have at least six high school players and at least six college players. It's 13 total players. So one of those categories will be seven, one will be six. But you have to at least get to that six player threshold. So you can't just load up on high school or just load up on college. So that's kind of the strategic element to it. For the position groups, we've typically done it to where if there's like a tweener position player that you have, you're trying to sneak a third baseman onto middle infield or vice versa, kind of the other two who are not drafting have final say and can dictate whether or not that position is fair. We've randomized the draft order, and our order will be Ben, then Jacob, then myself. We'll do snake order. So I'll pick twice, then it'll swing back around. Anyone have any questions, comments, clarifications, anything to say before we kick this puppy off? I know it'll typically take a while, so I don't want to belabor the point too much at the top here.
I'm going to take Rock Schlowski at number one. I am not going to surprise anybody. Look, I think shortstop is extremely deep in this class. So, you know, sometimes we look at different positions of strengths and weaknesses, how we're going to build out our teams for this. But Rock Schlowski, I think, is just a very obvious pick at number one overall. Not totally sure where I'm going to go with my other shortstops after this, but I have Rock Schlowski. I feel very strong about that pick.
I'm hopeful that whoever is, I'm hopeful that the White Sox have a similar mindset to you. If the draft board stays the same, we don't have to do this whole song and dance about, oh, are they actually going to take Rock Schlowski? Are they not?
Oh, they're going to have five guys on their board that they're talking about. You're going to hear about going right into the draft.
Right, right.
And Rock Schlowski is going to say, yeah. Okay, sure. I'll take all of your bonus pool, please.
Maybe the least surprising pick of the entire draft here.
I shouldn't say all of your pool, but all of the slot, at least.
This one, anyone basically picking one, I feel like this would have been the obvious choice. It would have been just getting cute to go otherwise. So I guess maybe the more exciting pick here is number two for Jacob.
Yeah, I was hoping for number one. That would have been really cool and easy. And as Ben demonstrated, required little thought. This one required more thought for me because I do think that if there's going to be a player that challenges Rock Chulowski, which I really don't think will happen, it will come from the college pitching class. And so I'm going to avoid it because I think that the path to that requires taking a haircut. The way that we play this game is with draft value. So I have to go at Grady Emerson here. Secures me my leading shortstop. Where I go after this, not entirely sure. But I do think that if the White Sox are going to get weird and still pay near full value, it's via the high school shortstop route. So I'll take Grady.
Yeah, I was kind of hopeful that you were going to get cute and maybe take someone who is not named Grady Emerson, because I do feel like even still, like, Rock is an obvious 1-1. I feel like Grady is just the obvious pick at two. I would have loved for him to slide there. So I'm kind of torn on if I want to double up on a position group and make like life more difficult for you guys, if I want to go for some balance. Man, I'm going to go ahead and lock in my first of this two, because I just feel very confident about Cameron Flukie on the mound. He's our top pitcher on the board. It's basically a chalkboard to start here. It's been 1, 2, 3, not really shaking things up too much. I'm tempted to double up on pitching at the start, because I do think this draft is just really deep for hitters, but I think I'm just going to avoid that. Man, I'm torn. I'm going to go Jacob Lombard for number four. Maybe the toolsiest player in the class. I feel like the obvious next up high school player in this group after Grady Emerson, and I feel like taking a balanced approach at this stage is just going to make life easier for me down the road. So Cameron Flukie is my pitcher, Jacob Lombard at shortstop or middle infield, and we'll go back to Jacob, unless you guys have any thoughts on that pick.
No thoughts from me, just actually mostly a thankful takeaway from that. I was concerned that you were going to go back-to-back pitchers there.
Because I feel really like if I took Jackson Flora, it'd be a heartbreaker for you. So
it would have been. And so I'm going to make sure that I get him. Jackson Flora is my pick. I actually think that Jackson Flora might be the number one pitcher in this class. And that's not saying much, because it's not a large gap between one and two. And as we have it, it's Flukie one and Flora two. There's just a lot of positivity about what Flora has done this offseason. I think that he's a pretty sure bet to go within the top five-ish. This July, he should perform in that conference, and so it feels just as safe as Flukie at Coastal. I think both should be, you know, are maybe some of the highest floor players besides Chulowski in this class.
Yep. I think that's a take that makes a lot of sense. I really struggled a little bit passing on Flora there. So, Ben, back to you for...
So I get two picks here?
You do, yep.
All right. For one of my picks, I want to make sure I get one of these top three college pitchers. So I'm going to take Liam Peterson from Florida with my pick. I guess it doesn't matter which order I'm taking them in, but I know I want to take him. There's a lot of good high school pitching in this class. I think there are some other college pitchers who are a little bit deeper down the board. We'll see how it plays out, what my constraints are with college versus high school guys. But I want to make sure I get one of Flora, Flukie, Peterson. So I'll take Liam Peterson here. I think I'm gonna go next with Justin LeBron, shortstop from Alabama. I got two college shortstops. I'm very college heavy here.
You are. I think
LeBron, he certainly has some question marks with the way that he hit in SEC play, but I think you have a true shortstop. I like the bat speed. I think the bat will take another step forward this year. I mean, it wasn't like he was bad last year. I don't want to like make it sound you know, like he was awful last year or anything like that. We have him as a likely top 10 pick and somebody who, you know, maybe goes right behind Rock Chulowski at number two. I think there's a lot of good shortstops this year. I thought maybe you guys might be a little bit more aggressive with shortstops, so I wasn't expecting to get Rock Chulowski and Justin LeBron, but as I say that out loud, I'm pretty happy right now.
Yeah, I do feel like both those guys have a chance to be like the first two players off the board. I also feel like it's telling that we all felt the need to tackle one of these college pitchers we have in this top tier just that lens of security that that profile is giving us to help kind of fill out the rotation, I feel like is notable. And pitching is something in general for me that in the past I have kind of regretted not tackling early. So it's interesting to kind of react to all of us jumping on that demo now.
I know we have on our draft board, we have LeBron one spot ahead of Jacob Lombard. What made you take Lombard ahead of LeBron?
I feel like there is less of a risk for Jacob Lombard to slide outside of the top 10 compared to Justin LeBron. I think Justin LeBron, if he struggles again in conference play and doesn't make significant adjustments to the swing and miss, I feel like he could fall a little bit further down the board. And I don't know that Jacob LeBron has the same ability to slide, just given the competition he's going to play in South Florida. It feels like people are just so enamored with the tool set and the pure upside. I was really torn between the two because I'm more on the bullish side of Justin LeBron, but it was also part, I knew I wanted Fluky and I wanted to stay as balanced as I could early with high school and college. And so without me being able to separate them with a ton of confidence, I just went for that demographic balance.
I was surprised you did that just because of how much I know you like Justin LeBron, but at the same time, I think that your logic is very sound based on the feedback because there has been a lot of chatter in the evaluation world going into the season that, you know, indicates maybe there's a split opinion a little bit on Justin LeBron. I think that the majority of the feedback is very high and that's reflected by where we have him. But at the same time, I do think that there are people who have questions about the hit tool that exist. Right. And I wonder what those people, how loud those people will be at the end of the year. So that's a good point. I think that you did make the safer pick there.
All right, Jacob, we're back to you.
Yep. This is where I'm going to get a little bit weird, but if there's one thing I learned from last year, it's that attacking my catcher value is going to be important. I think Los, one area that you really beat us in was when you snagged Ike Irish last year, and I'm not going to allow myself to fall victim to that this year. So I'm taking Ryder Helfrich. I do think that there's another catching option that is kind of guaranteed draft value. But the feedback that we've heard out of Arkansas from people who have seen him in the scouting community the last couple weeks has been really positive. Sounds like he's taken a step forward defensively, which was a question from last year. We know that the bat is arguably the best at the position among college guys. So it felt safe. Carlos, you and I talked about this on the draft pod. Like there's a real chance that he slides up into the top 20 come draft day. We actually both predicted it to be the likely outcome. So again, felt like a safe move to me. Helfrich's the pick.
Yeah, I feel like we are in this draft, we're solidly in the range where there's not a clear tier break for me. Like basically all the players who are available, I kind of like to the same degree. And so I'm thinking more strategically for how to fill out the roster more than anything. So I'm going to go kind of in a similar route to you, Jacob, at least targeting some positions I feel like might be trickier to handle. And so for my next pick, I'm going to go corner infield. I'm going to take Ace Reese at Mississippi State. He's a third baseman. I think there's a chance that in pro ball he moves to first base. But in terms of just power in this class, power and hitting ability, I feel like it's one of the more exciting profiles in the class. And there are a ton of middle infield profiles to pick from. So after securing one of the elite players in Jacob Lombard, I feel less inclined to attack that and target that for now. And then after getting Reese at corner infield, I'm going to go back to the rotation and I'm going to get Carson Bolamon. I think Carson Bolamon is the safest high school pitcher in this class. I think this is an excellent prep pitching class in general. I feel like at this stage, Bolamon is the most likely to actually be taken inside the first round. I feel like with a strong spring, he could push up inside the top 10. It's no guarantee that we get a high school pitcher in that range, especially when there's so many good hitters. But I just have a lot of faith that he's a rock solid pitching prospect. There's nothing in his game that concerns me. I think he's could be one of the quicker moving high school players in this class. And that maybe is telling because it's a profile that typically takes a long time. So I feel good about getting who I think is not pretty clearly, but reasonably safely the top high school pitcher in the class.
Why him over Rojas for you?
For me, it's just the command. I'm curious how Ben maybe viewed the command and control for Bolamon versus Rojas. I feel like Gio Rojas is maybe a better natural athlete and the actual arm speed is a little bit quicker and more loud, but Bolamon's ability to command the fastball, to command his secondaries, just like the pure pitching feel he shows on the mound, the ability to mix and match and attack hitters is super advanced. I mean, they were both on the same 18U national team last summer and fall. Bolamon was the better pitcher there. So I just have a lot of confidence that his game is like another level of polish for me.
Yeah, if I had to give the ball to one starting pitcher of those two tomorrow to win a game right now, I would take Bolamon. And not just of those two, probably of any pitcher in the class. The pitch ability that he has is pretty unreal for his age. Now, granted, his age is older for the class. Like if Wake Forest had him in their, you know, on their roster right now, I think he could start for them right away. He's extremely polished. The fastball command, the command of two breaking balls, two really good breaking balls, is just extremely impressive to see. Long term, I would rather have Gio Rojas. I think there's some more upside there. I think he's going to end up having a better fastball. Bolamon probably ends up with the better breaking stuff, but I would probably lean toward Gio Rojas. But I think both of these guys could and probably will end up both being first round arms. Although I say that, and it is a pretty stacked draft, but being left-handed with those kind of traits that those guys have is going to push them. I know it's pushing them high upwards right now.
Right. All right. We'll go back to you, Jacob.
I think I'm going to surprise you guys here. This is not a very me pick, and it actually scares
Derek Curiel.
It scares me because I think that there's a lot of development still to be done, but Tyler Spangler is who I'm going with now. I see Ben
a little disappointed with this one, so you might have sniped him.
Yeah, I had a feeling
here.
I would do that. I had a feeling I would both surprise you guys and disappoint Ben, but I just think the potential is really, really high. I do agree with something that you said, Carlos, recently when you and I were podcasting together on the Draft Pod, which was that he does kind of have the most to show maybe this year in terms of like tool set and kind of having that carrying tool. And he doesn't yet totally have that, but I think he could eventually. And so maybe not the flashiest present pick, but I think that when it comes to draft value and potential future value, it could be one of the better ones. So I wasn't going to let him slip through the cracks.
You maybe have two of the most exciting and just beautiful swings in this class between Grady Emerson and Tyler Spangler. Yeah. If you're looking at like pure hit tools and you wanted to say these are the top two guys, I think you could get away with that pretty easily.
I'm grinding my teeth right now because I was going to take him and just put him in the utility spot. That's how much I like Tyler Spangler. I already have two shortstops. I know I have other spots to fill out. I was going to just take him anyway. So I don't like that pick, but good for you, Gig.
All right, we're to you, Ben. You got two picks. You currently have three college players, Rochelowski, Justin LeBron, and Liam Peterson.
Yeah, so I'm currently audibling off of that pick. I think I will go Derek Curiel with my next pick. I need some
nice first some outfielders off the board.
Yeah, I don't know that the college outfielders are quite as strong maybe as, well, I think corner infield is the weakest among the positions right now, but college outfielder feels like there's like a bunch of interesting guys, nobody where it's like the complete package that you want to see. All of these guys have their little question marks, but with Curiel, I really like the polish. I like the left-handed swing. I like the back control. It's a ton of contact. I think he has really strong defensive instincts we saw it in the corner last year. We saw it in center field throughout his time in high school. I don't have much question he's going to be a good defensive center fielder this year. My question with him is going to be the power, like how much power do we see? It's kind of a slender, kind of a narrow frame too. So I don't know that big power is ever going to come, but he's only a freshman last year. And even if he doesn't hit for huge power, I like the hitting ability, the on-base skills and defense at a premium position in center field. So he will be my next pick. And then, I may go back to back here, college outfielders, and I'm sort of debating between AJ Gracia, a few other guys. Let's go with AJ Gracia. Just believer in the bat. So I'll go Curiel and Gracia for my two college outfielders.
Two outfielders, and Ben is currently at five college players. So we'll see if this comes back to make his life painful as he has to figure out high school players to get to six. But I think all these players on your team so far are guys I could easily see going in the top 10. So it's hard to knock what you're building over there, Ben. Jacob, you're up.
I'll also just say before I announce my pick, I do think that your question on Curiel about the power apparently is something that's looked a lot better in the preseason. The early feedback is that they've worked a lot on strength. He's put on some good weight, and they've worked on angles too, just trying to put the ball in the air and make sure that his best contact is heading towards the wall. So
that's
what
we're
pick.
All about.
Yep. Team Ben off to a good start. This is weird. Ben has five college guys. I'm taking my third high school player, EJ Booth. Come on down.
I knew you were going to take EJ Booth.
I knew if I didn't do it, and with you and the double pick behind me, I was concerned
you were not
gonna
get
that
a chance.
He was
not
going to survive the turn. So I'm taking the most athletic guy at the top of the board, in my opinion. I don't know if there's anybody who's more athletic than EJ Booth. I've talked about this already numerous times over on other podcasts. He is one of my favorite players in this class. Could be outstanding, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the top 10 in July. So have fun, Carlos.
Yeah, this one's painful. I really was hoping that he would last. I was starting to get worried that Booth, like, once just looking at Ben's college players, I thought Booth would have been maybe a player he was looking at, because I think he's one of the best high school just hitters available in general regardless, and none of us had tackled outfield until this turn. It's been just nothing but outfielders. So I feel the need to continue filling out this demographic. I'm just going to go best player available at a position I need to fill out. That's Drew Burris. Kind of expected that Burris wouldn't get back to me after Curiel went off the board. Ben, I thought you were going to stack Curiel and Burris. But you going with Gracia makes sense too. And I appreciate Jacob's just him being enamored with the tool set that Eric Booth has, because I think in terms of like tools and excitement, EJ Booth does excite me a little bit more than Burris, but it's really hard to be disappointed with maybe college baseball's most productive hitter in a profile that just has a lot of safety. I kind of like the fact that Burris feels like he's balancing out the upside and risk that I have with Jacob Lombard. So Burris is my first pick. After that, I'm not sure if I want to keep tackling the outfield demographic, because I do think we're approaching a bit of a tier break here in the outfield, and I wouldn't want to get too deep into that demographic this year. So I'm torn between an outfielder and another shortstop. You guys both have your middle infield players taken. I think I'm going to stick in the outfield, and I'm going to take... Man, I'm really torn here. This is maybe the trickiest pick that I've had so far.
Just take Blake Bowen, Carlos. Come on.
I want to. Yeah, I'm going to take Blake Bowen.
Look at the influence I have.
I was torn between Blake Bowen and Sawyer Strohsnyder in the outfield. And then I was also debating, I don't want to say the other person I was debating, actually, in case he's not on the radar for you guys. But Blake Bowen has some of the EJ Booth traits for me, in the sense that he was a strong performer on the circuit. He's got loud power, speed tools. I love the swing. I love the physicality that he brings to the table. And so I'll go with Bowen. And we're back to Jacob.
You guys are going to have to make a positional determination on this one, but I am finally going to take the college guy, Chris Akopian from Texas A&M.
Yeah, that's the other guy I was debating here. So
fantastic
that makes sense.
Stuff. super hard EVs. I'm curious to see how it translates to the SEC, because I think that transition from any conference, but especially the Big Ten, maybe goes a little bit under discussed. Like, that's a really big move. But I'm reasonably confident that he's going to have a good season, and the feedback has been really hot early. So it felt like a safe pick. Now, I think he's a third baseman at the next level, and that's been the feedback. We have him listed at shortstop. I have two middle infielders already on there. So if it's utility, I'm fine with it. But I was going to attempt to sway the two of you into letting me put him in a corner infield spot.
He played 47 games at third base with Maryland in 24. I also think he's more likely to play third base in the future. He played 20 games at third base in the Cape, so corner infield is perfectly fine for me. That's where I was going to put him as well. Cool. All right. Chris Akopian is the pick. Ben, we are going back to you.
Hmm.
And I will say, on just on Hakopian, I feel like hit power combination, one of the very best in the college class. If he has a strong year, looks fine at shortstop. Another player, if he snuck into the top 10, even moved inside like top five range with a strong year, that wouldn't shock me at all. I just think that the contact skills, the impact, the strength, they're all really, really good here.
I have gone very college heavy, and now I am.
Now he's paying the price.
I am thinking about where to pivot to next. So I get two picks in a row here.
You do, yes. Every time you pick, you'll have two picks in a row for the rest of the draft. True. By the way, you know what? I know Ben's thinking. He really wants to take Tyler Bell because he loves him, but he doesn't know if he can because he has to get some high school players.
I gotta get, you know what I'm gonna do, and I'm surprised I'm gonna do this, but I will take Vaughn Lackey here.
Wow.
Six straight college picks.
And I will also say, I was basically just sitting on Vaughn Lackey. I was like, oh, I'm definitely gonna get Vaughn Lackey now. Jacob took Ryder Helfrich.
Yeah.
Ben has no high school players. He's gonna take Will Brick for catcher, so I'm just gonna wait till he does that and I'll take Vaughn Lackey. My plans have been foiled.
So, well, now you can wait a long time for a Brick, so maybe that was a mistake by me.
Well,
although
you also might just throw him on your utility spot.
That actually is a good point. I might.
Yeah, I have
that
to
actually
be aware
would be
of
a
that.
Good way to box you out of really the top three catchers on the board, and then there's a drop off after
time.
That.
It would.
So, yeah, you got two people who might box you out.
I got some other fun options there. I'm not too worried.
But I get a little skittish over the high school catchers unless I'm, you know, I think it's an elite bad. And I like Will Brick. He might go in the first round. I just am a little bit more hesitant with the high school catchers. Vaughn Lackey, collegiate catcher, a lot to like there with him, just the overall skill set. So I will take him, and then I got to take one of these high school arms. Rojas and Borthwick are still on the board, right? Boy, it's a tough one. I'm going to start with Gio Rojas. Like him, lefty, buttery, smooth delivery, 6'4", up to 98, probably some more still in there. Some feel for a slider, like still kind of refining the shape of that pitch, with really good sweep to it when it's at its best. A lot of just starter looks, starter traits to him. Really deep high school pitching group here. So probably snap up some more of these guys later.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice. You got your first high schooler on the board. And I will say, anyone who is betting on Ben going 6 up, 6 down college, congratulations, because that is not something I expected given how much you have praised this high school class. So I guess
I can still sneak another one in there too, right?
Yeah, you can get up to one more. Once you get your next college player, though, that's the last. So choose carefully. And we're back to you, Jacob.
Yep. I'm gonna play protect here because I'm worried that he won't survive the Carlos turn. And so I'm going with Gabe Gackle from Arkansas. This is a big gamble at this point because I'm not so confident that he is going to hold on to his rotation spot just because they've tried this before. It didn't work last year. He made the majority of his appearances out of the bullpen. He's a really good reliever and he's proven that in the SEC, and the stuff is like, I mean, you can make a case that he has some of the best stuff in this class. If he's a reliever though, the value will suffer. If he's not, I think that he could soar pretty high into the first round. So I know you like him. I like him too. And I wanted to protect and make sure that he got onto my roster.
Yeah. The pitching is starting to get a little bit thinner here. So I like that pick from you. You have a balanced team as well right now, Jacob. 4 college players, it looks like, 3 high school players. So there are a ton of different areas I could go in. I don't really want to tackle catcher quite yet. I think corner infield is going to get tricky for you guys here soon. But I'm going to keep stacking pitchers. I think I was a little bit worried when you mentioned pitching that you were going to take Coleman Borthwick, who I love. Mm-hmm. I love Coleman Borthwick. I think just the power and precision and athleticism that he has on the mound is tremendous. Like, part of me hesitates at the high school pitching demographic, and every year, actually, that's not true. I never hesitate at this demographic. What I mean to say is I typically think, oh, I should play it safe with my pitchers and take the elite college arms. But I just like these high school pitchers better than the college pitchers available. I'm happy to take a guy like Borthwick. I think he belongs in the first round. I think his slider is among the best in the class. The way that he's talked about as an athlete and as a pitcher is just tremendous. Like, I've only ever seen him dominate. And I just think in terms of pure stuff and physicality and command, it's right up there with all the high school pitchers who we've taken with Carson Bolamon, with Gio Rojas. I'm tempted to take another high school pitcher here, but because he's still on the board and I consider him last time, I'm going to take what I think is like the last of this top tier of outfielders, and I'm going to grab Sawyer Strohsnyder from TCU, put him in the outfield. Again, I debated him with my last pick. I think he's got a really exciting combination of tools, physicality, performance a year ago was way better than what I would have expected him to do in his first year of college. I have some hesitance about the pure hit tool and some of the aggression that's underlying in the approach, but he can run, he can hit for power, he can throw. I just think he brings a lot of tools to the table. And if he has a strong year, I don't see why he can't be at the very top of the outfield tier in this class. So that's me wrapping up my outfielders.
Nice. I did not think that I would get to this point, but I'm taking Joey Volchko. I think that if it's a decent year, like even decent year, and we see signs of progress from a strike throwing standpoint, I think that there are some delivery mechanical changes that have occurred that we need to actually see over a longer period of time before we can actually be confident. And then there's like arsenal changes that are intriguing, but all kind of hypothetical to me until we see them. But again, if it is decent, I am pretty confident that he'll fly up the board. He has long been viewed as one of the top stuff guys in the country. He just never has had the results to justify a higher draft ranking. And that's it. I mean, if it is decent, even slightly improved from last year in the strike throwing and just overall appealing stats department, I don't see how he doesn't fly very high up into the first round.
Yep. Yeah. Tremendous pure stuff. I think between Flora, Gackle, Volchko, it's pretty clear that Jacob likes stuff. I think the stuff he has in this staff is some of the best in the entire class. All college starting rotation, notably. I don't know if you intended to do that or if it just kind of happened to be how the board played out, but that's maybe something to note as we go here back to Ben, who has 6 college players, 1 high school player currently.
I am thinking of going the college route again, too.
Wow.
I mean, I kind of want to snipe Tyler Bell here. He is the best player, I think, on the board, right?
Yep, I would say so.
Carlos needs another infielder.
Uh-huh, I do. But do you really want to lock yourself into that, Ben? Do you really want to?
I might.
You need some corner infielders. You got some high school players to round out that position. That might be tricky.
and Jacob is done with infielders. I don't want to just gift wrap him to you.
That's not. Well, I got some other positions I need to handle. I got catcher. I think the pitching is thinning out here. So, but yeah, do so what you want, Ben. If you like Bell and you want to lock yourself into high school only, do it.
So he's not the only college guy I'm thinking about either. There are.
I hate to hear that.
You know what?
Do you guys feel like at this stage in the draft, as you continue to think through your options, Ben, do you feel like there's been a talent drop-off? Because I don't really feel that. I feel like I've still been pretty excited about everyone I'm taking in this range. Like, I feel like once we get outside of the, I don't know, like once Jacob Lombard, Justin LeBron, Jackson Flora, those 3 and our 5 to 6 on the board, I feel like really all the next like 15, 20 players, I like them all in the same range. I could see them all winding up kind of in the same range on draft day. Like, it wouldn't shock me if who you took, Ryder Helfrich, a few rounds ago, Jacob was like the 11th player off the board. Same way with Lackey, with Borthwick, with Strohsnyder, with Groth. Like, I feel like it's just the numerical separation is much bigger than the actual tier of talent separation in my mind.
corner infield is where I start to get really worried at this point.
Yeah, that's why I was really happy with Ace Reese.
Corner that's infield is the position where it drops off big time.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I am going to go. So the next ranked outfielder on our board is Kevin Roberts Jr., right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to take him. I need high school players. I'm a fan of Kevin Roberts Jr. Thought I might be able to wait until a little bit later, but now I'm not totally certain how long he's going to still be there. Really young for the class, like 6'5", strong, physical, pretty dynamic athlete. Big time, big power now. I think there's significantly more power still to come just when you look at his size, his age, still being 17 years old, the strength and leverage in his swing. And I think it's a pretty good idea of the strike zone. Like, he's not the, you know, the pure hitter of maybe like a Grady Emerson, that kind of guy. But I actually think he does do a pretty good job putting the bat to the ball. Like, he's a longer limbed hitter, but he actually has pretty good bat to ball skills and arm strength as well, to be determined, like, you know, center field. I know he's playing shortstop right now too, but you know, put him in our outfield and feel good about that one. And then I gotta take one more. See, I'm debating. All right, I'll tell you the college guys.
Are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the obvious ones is, as I think Jacob was probably alluding to, is Gavin Grahovic, and or just the lack of.
Did you see the drop off the other day?
the drop off in corner infield talent, but Gavin Grahovic is one that appeals to me. Mm-hmm. I would like some more college pitching, though.
Yep.
And I don't know if I wait if Tegan Koons is still going to be available later on. I'm going to go with Tegan Koons and put him and Liam Peterson.
That's a smart pick.
Two Friday night starters in the SEC. Peterson of Florida, Tegan Koons at Tennessee. I just think he was really good in the Cape last year. He has really good stuff. Draft eligible sophomore. Now he's going to get a chance to, you know, be the main guy at Tennessee. And I think he's going to, I really like his feel for spin. Always have. I've long been a Tegan Koons fan. So having him and Liam Peterson at the top of my rotation, I mean, no disrespect to Gio Rojas. I guess he's in there too, but leading the college guys in my rotation, I'll take that.
I feel like it would have been not cool for you to come out of this draft without having gotten Tegan Koons. I feel like you are the Tegan Koons guy on the staff at this stage. So congratulations. And with that pick though, Ben, you cannot take any more college players for the rest of this draft.
I am boxed out. Yeah, I was looking at the college. I was thinking him. Like, I like Owen Kramkowski a little bit deeper down the board at Arizona. I was thinking, oh, maybe wait a little bit later, get him. You know, Brady Ballinger for my corner infielder. I know I could get Miles Bailey later if I wanted to. That was maybe going to be my last pick.
Right.
Depending how the board shaked out. But I guess I've boxed myself out of those gentlemen.
All right, we'll go to you, Jacob. You have two outfield spots, corner infield, one more pitcher, and a utility spot.
Yeah, this is a scary moment for me because I think that there's a few names that if I don't pick them here, they're on Carlos's mind, maybe on the periphery a little bit. I'm not sure. Because Ben just named him aloud, I'm going to take Brady Ballinger. I really wanted him.
You wanted him. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted him, and I was afraid that Ben just kind of planted that seed in your brain and it was going to cause you to take him. I think he's one of the best pure hitters in this draft, and he is a first baseman all the way. It's not, there's no positional flexibility there. But you're drafting the bat, and so of the remaining corner infield options, I like him more than Grahovic. Grahovic's coming off of a bad shoulder injury that caused him to miss the whole season. I just have more confidence that Brady Ballinger will A, have a great year at Kansas, and B, is just the better bat overall anyway. So it feels like a safe pick to me. I don't really see him sliding a lot in the draft, and I think there's going to be enough value there that he made sense in a thin position group.
Oh, I feel like I'm in a lovely position right now because Jacob has now filled up his entire infield. Ben is not able to select a college player. The two top players on the board right now are Eric Becker and Tyler Bell, who I'd be thrilled to add to my team.
They have no leverage at all in this draft. they're just going to slide.
So the one issue is,
although
Jacob does have a utility spot, he can draft at least one more college player. I think I would be more upset with myself if I tried to game this out and let Tyler Bell float and take a risk that Jacob would just put him into his util and figure it out.
He'll just go back to Kentucky. You know he'll do it.
He will do it.
He has that track record.
He won't sign with me if I try and lowball him here without his leverage. So I'm basically looking at Eric Becker, Tyler Bell, Chris Rembert, all the top college hitters on the board, all the top overall players on the board. I think I'm just going to not get cute with it. I'm going to take Tyler Bell and put him in middle infield. I've been looking at him for a little bit now. I've been waiting on him. I was tempted to do last year. I did the same exact thing. Iva Arquette was still on the board and you guys basically couldn't draft Iva. So I just waited and took him with my last pick at util. I don't want to risk Tyler Bell going to Jacob's utility spot. So I'm going to grab him, put him in my middle infield. And then I think I'm just going to double down here. I'm really torn between Eric Becker and Chris Rembert, actually. One of those I want to throw into my utility spot. I also think, Ben can't take a college player. So I think Grahovic is kind of my safety net corner infielder at this point. So I'm just going to take Eric Becker. Really good pure hitter, solid shortstop. Production for 2 years at Virginia has been tremendous. I think he actually has some sneaky pop in there as well. I think both my reservations with Tyler Bell and Eric Becker is just like how much power do we have from these two profiles, but I just think both of them are very well-rounded, very safe, productive college shortstops. So I'll throw Eric Becker into my utility spot.
Yeah, if you didn't take Bell there, it would have been like if Ben didn't take Coons. Both of those guys were my next picks on my
board. So I have six college players. I still need a pitcher, a corner infielder, and a catcher. We go back to Jacob, who needs two outfielders, a pitcher, and a util.
With one college spot left, importantly.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm going to use it now. I'm going to end my college draft. Reason being, because Carlos, you have room to do that. Actually, I really don't have to do this, but I like the player enough and I'm going to anyway. Aiden Robbins, I think, has some of the most upside in this draft among the guys who are just outside of our first round projection at the moment. The data is tremendously loud from his days at Seton Hall. He put up huge numbers last year, transfers to Texas, and the feedback out of Austin has been that he's been fantastic. And that's defensively, he's looked really good. The bat has continued to play, even though he's facing a really good Texas pitching staff now for the last couple months. Probably among the people who we have ranked outside the first round right now, besides maybe Joey Volchko, I think that he would be the least surprising to end up in the first round in July. I'm that confident that he's kind of gearing up for a big year. So that rounds out my college picks, and yeah, glad to have them.
Nice. All right, Ben, we're back to you. And Ben, for those listening, he still needs two corner infielders. He needs a pitcher and he's got a utility spot to fill out, and he is tapped out of the college demographic.
Yeah. So I got to take a high school. I guess I got a utility spot, but I have two high school corner infield or two corner infield spots, a pitcher, and then a utility. I kind of want to wait on pitching because I can only take a high school pitcher. There's a lot of high school pitching that I still like. I know I'm going to get some high school pitcher that I like, so I kind of want to wait on that. I feel like if I go high school corner infield here, I'm also like stretching beyond where they should go
right
in the draft, but I also have to take one of them or take two of them
right
at some point. And there's not like an obvious, unless I want to go the pitching route and just fill up my last pitching spot, there's not like an obvious high school player that I would just be like, oh, this guy's too good, I have to take him here for a utility spot. I think I will just fill up my two high school corner infield spots here, and I am going to take I'm going to take Dominic Santarelli, and I'm going to take Bo Peterson.
Yeah, great picks.
Two good picks.
Dominic Santarelli, huge, huge power, big time bat speed, physical guy, pretty athletic for his size. I don't know, whatever. Like, we'll probably just put him at first base. And he runs it well enough. Maybe you could put him out in a corner outfield spot too and be fine. But put him at first base, big time juice and impact from the bat. And Bo Peterson, just one of the better hit power combinations in this class. Strong arm. He'd be like an interesting pitching prospect too if for some reason things don't click with the bat. I think it's just a much better prospect as a hitter.
Yeah, these are, I feel like, the two very clear high school corner infielders to take. It's not typically a demographic that's really loaded because there's just so many shortstops in high school, and the bar to clear offensively to be a high school corner infield prospect in this range is so high. But I think these are two guys who kind of meet the bar. Santarelli's power is like shockingly impressive, and I feel like Bo Peterson's swing is just so naturally, not grooved, but it's just built for him to impact the ball, put it in the air with a lot of easy power. So,
and Carlos has a corner infield spot with
correct
more high school need than college. So I wanted to.
I was definitely sizing up both those names. So I'm a little bummed that you took them. So good strategic picks from you. All right, we're back to Jacob.
I'm hoping that this is of similar strategic caliber here. Jensen Hirschhorn is the pick. Nice. Reason being, you also need pitching, and it pretty much has to be from high school except for Carlos. I think he's a pretty easy guy to dream on. He's a huge frame. What is he, 6'7"? He's got a real three-pitch mix. There's room for him to still kind of grow into the body a little bit. And he's a really good strike thrower, which is the platform that I am most confident to stand on amongst the high school pitching demographic. So not my favorite group to pick from. I'm much more of a college pitchers over high school pitchers guy. But there are just too many college bats that I wanted to get onto my team. So I knew that I was going into this that I would need one high school pitcher. And that's the one that I generally wanted because it was going to be this late.
I like that pick because I know Ben also has to fill out his pitching, and Jensen Hirschhorn should have been a candidate for him. Okay. I feel like at this point I just have to take Will Brick off the board. I got a catcher hole. Everyone has to take high school players. You both still have utility spots. It wouldn't at all shock me if someone just took Will Brick because both they like him and to spite me to make me push further down the catching demographic. I think Brick, like Ben was saying earlier, he has a chance to go pretty high in this draft. I think he's very clearly the top high school catcher in the class. I do think there's a bit of a tier break between the college catchers. You guys took Ryder Helfrick, Von Lackey between Will Brick, but I do think Brick has a really nice combination of offensive upside, bat speed, power projection, and defensive ability and athleticism behind the plate. So it just feels like a no-brainer. I feel like I'd be getting a little bit too cute to not take him off the board here, even though I have some capacity to kind of wait you guys out since you can't take any more college players. So now I have one pitcher to fill.
Spite factor was going to move him up my board a little bit. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. I figured. I've got two Ben Badler favorites between Will Brick and Tyler Bell, so I feel pretty good about that. Now I'm torn about whether or not I tackle corner infield or pitcher. I think it just makes sense to go pitcher because both my options for corner infield are college players. Although, as I say that, there is a depth of high school pitcher that I just feel confident in taking any number of pitchers, so I'm not opposed to that. I guess I'll ask you guys this. Could I convince you to have Chris Rembert be a corner infield position? I think he's a second base, third base type. If you wanted to say he's more second base, that's fine. He's kind of played all over. He's played second. He's played right field. He's played left field. So I would motion to put him at corner infield. But if you guys reject that, I understand. What are your thoughts?
Is second base on the corner? Do they move where second base is?
He's second base now, but I think second base, third base. I think he could easily play third base in pro ball. It's definitely
he
more of a
no
projection than Chris Akopian, for example.
Yeah, he has no reps at third base in his single college season or over the summer when he did play all over, like you said. So I'm inclined to say no.
I'm nixing that.
But I'll
one.
Leave it to Ben.
Yeah.
Oh, if you say no, I think I need a unanimous decision. So I'll just take. I'm not going to take him now because you guys can't take him. So I'm going to go to the high school pitcher. Well, and take my pick of who I prefer here. All right, the guys
Let's
I'm looking
Logan
at.
Schmidt. I know you want your lefties. Is that going to work twice?
Well, Ben wants Joseph Contreras probably, so it would be really fun to steal him from Ben. It's like the splitter changeup guy in the class. So I'm between Joseph Contreras and Logan Schmidt. Which one would hurt him more? You know? I think I'm going to take Joseph Contreras in my rotation.
I think I would rather have Joseph Contreras, but I'm feeling good about whoever I get for next high school pitcher.
Joseph Contreras, lean, projectable arm, 6'4". I think the very best changeup in this class, maybe high school and college. He's also younger for the class. He'll be 18.2 on draft day. Pretty good pitcher. In terms of just like command ability to mix and match, I think maybe his capacity to spin the ball gets a little underrated because the changeup is so obviously good now, but he has this mid 80s slider that flashes plus, has high spin rates. He's been up to 98. Like, he checks a lot of boxes. I feel like maybe gets a little bit slept on because there are just so many good high school pitchers in this class. So I'll take Contreras, and the reason for him over Logan Schmidt, I typically do lean towards the left-handed pitching demo. But just greater confidence and conviction in the secondaries here is kind of the rationale, in addition to a little mini spite factor for Ben.
I'm going to go and with my penultimate pick, take Aiden Ruiz. It's probably my scariest pick.
Ooh,
thus
what
far.
A back-to-back dagger to Ben. That is brutal.
I mean, I got questions about whether or not he's going to ever be strong enough. He's a great hitter, though, and he's got a great understanding of the zone, and I would argue he's the best defensive player in this class, maybe at any position. So, sorry, Ben. I wasn't going to let that slip, and I had a feeling he wasn't getting back to me.
Yeah, Ruiz is tremendously gifted defensively, like a no-brainer shortstop. I think you could probably put him up with any shortstop in this class and say he's as good or better than everyone. And while the offensive impact is maybe a question, he does control the zone really well. He makes a lot of contact. I think there's some pure hitting traits there too. And a Contreras Ruiz back to back, and it hurts you, Ben.
you
could have taken both those guys.
The Ruiz more than Contreras, because I wanted to have my utility spot. I don't want to take two pitchers here and put a pitcher, especially a high school, and I had to take a high school player. I didn't want to put a high school player
right
in my utility spot. I'd feel much better about having Ruiz, streaming of a Rock Chalowski, mm-hmm. Justin LeBron, Aiden Ruiz, middle infield trio. But
that is
a good one.
So you have a pitcher and a util to fill, and this will be your complete team once you make your picks.
I gotta probably pivot to a different high school hitter. It looks like the best ones on our board, Trevor Condon,
mm-hmm.
Brady Harris, Noah Wilson, Cole Kininger,
James Clark.
I am, you know what, let's do it. James Clark just keeps being,
I'm glad you took James Clark. He could easily go in the first round.
Up arrow on him, huge up arrow. You know, was a Princeton commit. Now he's uncommitted. I'm sure he can choose pretty much whatever school he wants to go to now. But just kind of more under the radar coming into the year. Saw him early in the summer. I was like, oh, that actually looks like really good. That's a great pickup for Princeton. And then over the summer, I was like, oh, no, that's going to be a good pickup for some MLB team, because the swing works. He performed really well all summer. Would feel better about Aiden Ruiz, but I'll feel good about putting James Clark into that spot. And now it's a question of which high school pitcher am I taking here? I like Logan Schmidt. He's a good arm. Caden Wachter is really appealing to me. Just very smooth, polished, very pitcherish looking guy with good stuff too. Trey Rangel, longtime fan of his, can really, really spin the ball. Pretty athletic, up to 98. Command can kind of come and go. I want to take him. I know I'm very high on him. I'm going to go with Savion Sims here. That is 6'8", throwing 100 miles an hour. He looks like he's going to throw about 106 miles an hour one day. Probably some more risk. Like Logan Schmidt is a little bit more polished than Sims. Like, I don't think Sims is raw. I wouldn't take just like a totally raw high school pitcher here. But it's like a Jacob Mizierowski body. Like that. Mm-hmm. It's a very different slot. He comes from a much steeper angle than Mizierowski, but man, just like power stuff. Like I think there will be enough strikes there, like enough feel for the slider. Like, I don't think it's just like an all fastball only guy. So bunch of different options there. I like. I'll go with Savion Sims. I would have taken Joseph Contreras if he was available, though. You are correct.
Yes, love that. Well, Savion Sims is a fun name to throw in there. Absolutely electric arm talent and just kind of a freak look on the mound. So that is your team wrapped up. We'll run through them all once everyone picks. But we're back to you, Jacob, for one outfield spot you have, and I believe you have to do high school. I wonder who you're going to pick.
I actually don't. I don't know. I don't know if you know who I'm going to pick. I
my assumption is Trevor Condon, but I'll be. Let's see if I.
That's a pretty good guess. I did like a gasp when I had to put on my best poker face when Ben was like, "Well, we have Trevor Condon," and I was like, "No, don't do it." And then you didn't, so I will. Yeah, Trevor Condon. Yeah. I was super impressed in Jupiter when I saw him, and to kind of use Ben's line, like, some of these guys really stand out to you when you see him in person for the first time. And he was that guy for me in Jupiter. Like, it just kind of jumped off the page. Good swing, but like the way he gets out of the box and the athlete, I think, was the most impressive part of his game. And he plays super hard, which is always kind of fun to watch. So, you know, I'll bet on the hard nosed, you know, center field speedy guy with my last pick in the draft.
Yeah. Between Trevor Condon, Aiden Ruiz, you have two of the more exciting, like, spark plug short guys who actually really can play baseball demographic. So it's a very fun team Jacob has. Okay, we're back to me. I've got six high school, six college, so I could technically go in either direction here. I've got corner infield to fill. I feel like the fit here is kind of a no-brainer. I'm just going to take Gavin Grahovic at Texas A&M since I can convince you guys to let me put Chris Rembert there. The reason I prefer Rembert is just have a lot more confidence in the pure hit tool. I think Rembert is one of the very best pure hitters in the class. I think without him being selected here, he's maybe the best available player who no one could kind of fit onto our roster. But Grahovic does have a ton of strength, a ton of power. He had 23 home runs, 16 doubles in his first year in 2024. Then he dealt with injury in 2025. So this is the one I'm most uncertain about, I would say, of my roster, which I feel good because it is the last pick. But just the positional fit, the talent makes the most sense here. I would like to feel a little bit more confident in his ability to just make contact, show a little bit more refinement in the approach. But there's no doubt he has a ton of strength, ton of power. We'll see if he can stick at third base as well. So that,
I think it's a good pick.
That does it, fellas. We all did seven college players, six high school players. If you guys want to each run down your teams so we can refresh people, Ben, we'll start with you. You had the first pick. Run us down your roster.
Yeah, Von Lackey at catcher, a couple high school corner infielders with Dominic Santarelli and Bo Peterson, really strong up the middle. We're all strong up the middle. Like, I don't think you could screw that one up too bad, right? No. But Rock Chalowski and Justin LeBron, two college middle infielders, college heavy in the outfield with Derek Curiel and AJ Gracia, and then Kevin Roberts Jr. Rounding out my outfield from the high school ranks. Pitching, I got Liam Peterson and Tegan Coons from the college side. Lefty Gio Rojas and right-hander Savion Smith on the high school side.
Savion Sims.
What did I say?
Smith.
Savion Smith. No, I did not mean to take Savion Smith. Savion Sims on the 6'8" high school right-hand pitcher throwing 100 miles an hour on February 9th or whatever it was, where his first start was. Pretty good start to the year. And then James Clark, very buzzy high school shortstop in California.
Nice. All right, Jacob, how about you?
Yep. I went triple college, catcher, Ryder Helfrich, corner infielders, Chris Hacopian, and Brady Ballinger, who I'm very high on and think is one of the better hitters in the draft. Up the middle, double high school, Grady Emerson, Tyler Spangler. I feel like that's kind of the Benz, Cholowski, LeBron version mm-hmm. on the high school side. Outfield, EJ Booth, Aiden Robbins from the college side, and then Trevor Condon. Pitchers, I went quadruple righties, Jackson Flora, Gabe Gackel, Joey Volchko, and Jensen Hirschkorn. And then at the utility spot, Ben's guy, Aiden Ruiz.
And then
I was going to say Spangler was going to be my first utility guy, and then you took him, and then Ruiz was going to be my next guy, my backup plan. And no, we're very excited to have James Clark on Team Battler, though.
My team is at catcher. I took the top high school catcher in the class and Will Brick. My corner infield, two college players, Ace Reese and Gavin Grahovic. In the middle infield, I've split it up there. Jacob Lombard from the prep ranks, Tyler Bell from the college ranks. In the outfield, similar deal, two collegians, Drew Burris and Sawyer Strassnyder. Rounded out with Blake Bowen from the high school ranks. It is a high school heavy rotation for me. I have Cameron Flukey from the college side. And then beyond that, it's Carson Bolamon, Coleman Borthwick, Joseph Contreras to round out my staff. And then my utility spot is called shortstop Eric Becker. So those are our teams. Let us know which team you guys prefer, if there are any players you think we maybe slept on and should have drafted. But guys, now that we've done this, does this change how you're thinking about the class at all? You have any picks you really like from other teams, some picks you maybe regret on your own, any strategic errors or things you did that make a lot of sense in this class? I will say my two favorite picks from y'all's rosters. From Jacob, I feel like Jacob had a number of picks that he kind of scooped me on. But I really like the Eric Booth Jr. pick. And I also like him just going and getting his guy, Brady Ballinger. That was definitely a player that I was kind of sizing up. I think is just overall hitting chops stack up really nicely. For Ben, I think the last pick of James Clark is actually a sneaky, really good pick that he's a little bit further down on our board, but it wouldn't shock me at all if he had a really strong spring and went off in the pairing of Justin LeBron and Rock Chalowski. While it's like, those are maybe picks that you wouldn't like look at and say, oh, those are really good picks because they're kind of no-brainers. Like that's could easily be the 1-2 in the draft right there. So it's hard to not look at that middle infield and get really excited. So those are the picks from you guys that I really liked.
I would say that Ben sniped me twice, kind of. Well, I'd say Tegan Coons was a great pick just because I felt like he was floating around a little longer than I expected. And it got to a point where I had him next on my board. Carlos, you did the same thing with Tyler Bell, but that was just kind of, we all were in a weird position draft wise and it forced him down the board. Whereas like right. If it was open universe and position lists, I think that he would have gone much sooner. So that was a good pick. And then I think, yeah, Ben, your last pick, James Clark is a sneaky great one that has a chance to probably make you a lot of money on your team.
Yeah, like the Spangler one was a good one, getting him. I mean, him and Grady Emerson in mm-hmm. as a high school deal in your middle infield is good. And you got Aiden Ruiz, too. That's you're strong up the middle. I'll give credit there. And then just seeing on the – I think just seeing how early some of the college pitchers went, right? Like it's a deep high school mm-hmm. pitching group, but we know teams prioritize the collegiate arms. And I think there's like a clear right. trio, at least for right now at the top with Liam Peterson, Flora, and Cameron Flukey. But I also know, like, I don't know who exactly, maybe it's Tegan Coons. Maybe it's probably somebody else jumps up and is like, you know, the Cade Anderson of this year mm-hmm. where we don't have him in the first round range coming into the year. And then by midseason, we're like, oh, wow, no, this guy should be going like top 10 overall. So I'm sure one of these college arms that we didn't take, like I don't know if there's somebody in particular for you guys, like who we didn't take that you were surprised mm-hmm. didn't get taken or that you were, you know, eyeballing next to somebody who could jump up. But I'm sure one of these college arms that we didn't take, we'll look back and be like, oh man, none of us took him. What were we smoking?
Last year, just looking at our arms that we took, no one took Liam Doyle. No one took Cade Anderson. Yeah. I'm hopeful that we don't wind up with arms like that this year because I would like to have them ranked appropriately to start with. But I do think that is a demographic that every year there are players who are not talked about inside the top 30, top 50 of the class that just have a strong spring and jump up the board. And I do think that once you get out of the first three that we had go off in our first six picks, I believe Cameron Fluke, Jackson Flora, Liam Peterson, it is kind of an open race. I don't know who it's going to be, but I think there are some compelling players deeper on the board who could make strides. It's just a matter of who goes out and actually does it. So that'll definitely be something interesting to watch.
I think that the early season candidates are guys like Cole Carlone had a game to the draft a little bit differently. I had him kind of on my list as maybe my fourth pitcher and go all four college spots on the mound. He's going to start for Arizona State and strikes me as a guy who's like, if he sticks in the rotation, he could strike out 120 batters in the Big 12 and have a really big loud year and has upper 90s stuff with a plus slider. Like that's somebody who to me maybe goes a lot better than where we have him currently ranked if it works out as a starter. Trey Beard, maybe you can say the same thing. If he shows more velocity at Florida State and is successful in a power conference last year, the numbers were in line with somebody who would go maybe in the top 15. So those are the guys like that I think we didn't get to because it would have been really hard to justify drafting them right now based on like what we currently know. But if we were going to aggressively project out, they would probably be the next two pitchers that I would look at. Maybe Morningstar at Wake Forest is another guy who I think has a lot of potential. There's a deep group of arms that I think can make the jump. Mm-hmm. But to answer your earlier question, Carlos, like one thing for me, and I'll spoil the story that I'm going to put up at BA on Thursday, February 12th, you know, anything for future projection. I think that this class is so strong that it kind of gives weight to the caliber of the top three pitchers. So like to your point, Ben, we took those three guys, Liam Peterson, Cameron Fluke, Jackson Flora, super early. And that stands out to me just because the quality of the class around them, high school, shortstops are pretty good at the top. You have a pretty decent college bat class, I think, at the top. And yet those guys stand alone pretty clearly to me as like must-haves among the first six picks or five picks or whatever it ended up being. Just goes to show you, like, we've had three pitchers, college pitchers in the top 10 going into the year before. I don't know how many of those classes are like definitively better than this one, other than the Skeens year that ended up having, you know, him and Lauder mm-hmm. and Dolander.
Right. Yeah. I think it's a deep group though. I mean, we drafted 39 players here, and I feel like there's still a lot of players that we couldn't quite get to that I'm still excited about. So
the high school pitching in particular really jumps out to me. I'm curious how many guys end up going in the first round, and then how many mm-hmm. guys will end up in, I'm sure a lot of these guys will end up getting pretty good bonuses beyond the first round too on overslot right. deals. And then I'm sure a lot of them are going to go to college baseball because there's only so much you can do with the bonus pool space
right.
that you're given. And there's a lot of other good players in the college side and the high school position player side too. So like if I, that's kind of why I waited on the high school pitching side. I mean, I wanted to get one of the big three college pitchers. Like it took Peterson early, mm-hmm. really like Tegan Coons. Like I think he has a chance to move up into that upper tier first round. So I went and got him, but then I was like, well, all right, ended up with Gio Rojas and Savion Sims. But if I ended up getting, you know, like Logan Schmidt or Trey Rangel or Caden Wachter or, mm-hmm. you know, you just go deeper down the board with guys like Sean Duncan or Denton Lord or Caden McCarthy or, you know, like even like super deep down, like a down the board, like a, not, I don't know, super deep, but even outside the top 100, like we get into the arms in that range, just like the high school pitchers, whether, you know, it's like a Jake Carbaugh or Brody Bumila, you know, coming back from an injury this year, but like there's just a ton of really good high school arms that I'd be happy to have
right.
on these teams. Like just sub them out for Rojas and Sims. I still feel really good.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see like how many of these guys are actually going to get drafted and signed, because we know that demographic is just one that most teams like to steer clear of. There's only so many dollars going around in the draft available to all those players. Once a certain range hits and kids aren't getting this like $2.5-3 million price tag, they're like, hey, I've got like a power conference commit, I'm betting on myself, I can go to school, pull a Liam Peterson. I mean, we were talking about Liam Peterson as this like 70 to 100 range pitcher. where we have him on the board now, he's slated to get $5 million or more. Dax Whitney, same kind of deal. We had him in the 30 to 50 range, I think, coming out of high school. He's looking like a potential 1-1 candidate a year from now. Like a lot of these guys, once they start to not get what they think they're worth, they're going to bet on themselves, go to school, try and push themselves into the first round. So,
or even like a William Schmidt who pulled himself out of the draft right at the last minute, or I guess what technically told teams not to draft him, whatever the official terminology is, he basically pulled himself out of the draft, was a first round caliber arm.
Yeah. Okay. Any other final thoughts from Jacob? You have anything else to add?
Nope. I enjoyed it as always. Curious to see how this all shakes out. It's going to be a fun year. One thing that I think is fun is just, I guess my final thought is that for as great as this draft is, I think it's exciting because like there is a level of ambiguity behind Rochelowski, like who belongs where. And it's not because there's a lack of talent, but the exact opposite. Like you can make an argument for a lot of guys in a lot of different orders because there is so much elite talent in this draft, and that's always exciting. So, you know, excited to get going here, and we're minutes at this point away from competitive baseball. So
yeah,
good stuff.
Ben, any final comments from you before we get out of here?
I feel really good about my team. I think last year I made some decisions in the draft that as I was going through it, I realized I boxed myself in, and maybe I did a little bit this year on the college side, but can't argue, or I can't feel bad about the players I ended up with. So I'm feeling good about Team Battler this year.
I will say, last 2 years, I've cleared the $50 million signing bonus threshold. I need someone else to push that range for me.
Jacob, Carlos has this scoring rubric that only exists in his own mind of signing
bonus.
It's just
the quickest feedback we get. We have to wait 10 years to see whose team is actually better.
So if
first indicator is the industry liked my team better than y'all's.
Yeah. So basically by years, Carlos's scoring system that only he cares about. If I had drafted, a while ago, if we had done this, if I had drafted like Mark Appel or Elijah Green by his definition, those would be a home run grand slam pick for him.
Ben's 2024 draft, a couple of the players that he took that didn't sign, pretty prominent names right now. Brendan Lawson, Derek Curiel, William Schmidt, Tegan Coons. Six of those guys.
I'll send my guys to college if the money is not there, if the fit is not right. We're playing long-term, long horizon games here. We're not in it for the buck out of high school.
We have to do the future projection 10-year reunion podcast and figure all this out.
Oh, that's tremendous. Okay. I think we're kind of nearing the end here. So as always, very fun exercise. We'll circle back after the draft and just do a quick little restock here. Although Ben doesn't count it as any sort of official ruling finality. Yeah. Catch us back here in 10 years. But again, happy D1 opening day to everyone who celebrates. It's been a long time coming. We're excited to actually get the season rolling, actually start to see some of these players go out there and do their thing on the baseball field. So we appreciate you guys listening. We appreciate you guys supporting Baseball America. Definitely stay tuned to the site. There's going to be a lot of content coming on the amateur side. We're not too far away from pro stuff getting rolling as well. So just thank you guys for the support and allowing us to do this work. We could not do it without you. So for Ben, for Jacob, I'm Carlos. So long, everybody. We'll see you next time.
You know that wellness goal you set at the start of the year? It's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud, especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's kachava.com, code NEWS.
I'm Dr. Christina Chen, a geriatrician at Mayo Clinic and host of Aging Forward, a podcast highlighting unique topics in geriatric medicine and the science of healthy aging, helping all of us live longer and fuller lives. Whether you're a caregiver for someone or learning how to care for your own health, we're here to help you feel informed, inspired, and empowered. Mayo Clinic's Aging Forward. New episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.